The 1852 compulsory schooling legislation of Massachusetts represents a fundamental change in the jurisprudence of parental authority, as had the Adoption Act passed by the nearly identically constituted legislature just 4 years prior, the first formal adoption legislation anywhere on earth since the days of the Roman Empire. Acts so radical could not have passed silently into practice if fundamental changes in the status of husbands and wives, parents and children, had not already gravely damaged the prestige of the family unit. There are clear signs as far back as 1796 that elements in the new American state intended to interpose themselves in corners of the family where no European state had ever gone before. In that year, the Connecticut Superior Court, representing the purest Puritan lineage of original New England, introduced judicial discretion into the common law of child custody and a new conception of youthful welfare hardly seen before outside the pages of philosophy books. The notion that each child had an individual destiny, a private welfare independent of what happened to the rest of its family. A concept called psychological parenthood began to take shape, a radical notion without legal precedent that would be used down the road to support drastic forcible intervention into family life. It became one of the basic justifications offered during the period of mass immigration for a compulsion law intended to put children under the thrall of so-called scientific parenting in schools. Judicial discretion in custody cases was the first salvo in a barrage of poorly understood court rulings in which American courts made law rather than interpreted it. These rulings were formalized later by elected legislatures. Rubber-stamping the fait accompli, they marked a restructuring of the framework of the family ordered by a judicial body without any public debate or consent. No precedent for such aggressive court action existed in English law. The concept lived only in the dreams and speculations of utopian writers and philosophers. The 1840 case, Mersenne versus People, produced a stunning opinion by Connecticut's Justice Page, a strain of radical, strong state faith straight out of Hegel. Quote, "The moment a child is born, it owes allegiance to the government of the country of its birth and is entitled to the protection of the government." Close quote. As the opinion unrolled, Page further explained, "With the coming of civil society, the father's sovereign power passed to the chief or government of the nation." Close quote. A part of this power was then transferred back to both parents for the convenience of the state. But their guardianship was limited to the legal duty of maintenance and education, while absolute sovereignty remained with the state. Not since John Cotton, teacher of the Boston Church in the early Puritan period, has such a position been publicly asserted. Cotton, in renouncing Roger Williams, insisted on the absolute authority of magistrates in civil and religious affairs, the quintessential Anglican position. In later life, he even came to uphold the power of judges over conscience and was willing to grant the powers of life and death to authorities to bring about conformity. Thus did the Puritan rebellion rot from within. A few years after the Page ruling, American courts received a second radical authorization to intervene in family matters. The best interest of the child test. In 1847, Judge Oakley of New York City Superior Court staked a claim that such power is not unregulated or arbitrary, but is, quote, governed as far as the case will admit by fixed rules and principles. When such fixed rules and principles were not to be found, it caused no problem either, for it was only another matter subject to court discretion. In the 54-year period separating the Massachusetts compulsion school law adoption law and the founding of Children's Court, at the beginning of the 20th century in Chicago, the meaning of these decisions became increasingly clear. With opposition from the family-centered societies of the Tidewater and Hill Country South, diminished by civil war, the American state assumed the parens patriae powers of old-time absolute kings, the notion of the political state as the primary father. And there were signs it intended to use those powers to synthesize the type of scientific family it wanted for the society it wanted, to usher in the future it wanted.